This is an interview with Mr. W.M. Benson, lifelong member of the ranching community of Orange Grove, Texas. Mr. Benson's family came to this area in the 1910 period. This recording will relate some of his past experiences and views of the ranching community and of South Texas. Interviewed by Lamar Joseph Conrad, March the 31st, 1974, Benson Ranch.
This is William Monroe Benson, better known in the Orange Grove community as Willie Elsner. Some of them call me Bill and some of them call me Will. I come here when I was a lad of about 16 years old. In 1910, you want me to say, huh?
Well.
Okay. And during that time, we didn't have any paved roads. Everything was, and there were very few automobiles, no tractors. Everybody worked with mules and horses. And we had, to tell the truth about it, we had more stores in them days than we do now, because everybody goes to Carpus or Alley to do the trading. We had a bank and two hardware stores and a couple of grocery stores. And at that time we had the form of communication, first telephone, we had phones. Everybody had one in their home.
Was that that early ring type?
Yeah, ring type, but they had a name for them. I'd have thought about that. I can't think. Well, anyhow, everybody had phone. Now I don't have a phone on because they changed the tool, did away with all of those family phones, and now it's so high, and many people can afford them. Raids and bandits, that was before my time. We didn't have any criminals or horse thieves, murders. I don't hang in, that is before my time.
Bill, how was the life around town at that time, or around the ranching community? How were the people in the area, the attitudes of the people?
Well, most of them were farm workers, and farming and ranching, they got along and real well. All the people got along well. There was no fighting and disagreement like we have today.
Probably didn't have the racial overtones.
No, we didn't have the racial overtones. Of course, it was some little discrimination, not discrimination, segregation in the schools and churches. Those days and times, Spanish people and colored people didn't go to the white churches. But on a general rule, they got along well with it. They took that as a natural thing. It didn't
more or less just accepted. Let's see now. What year you actually came out here to the ranch? You was telling me in 1912. Could you tell us a little bit about just general life on the ranch in the early days?
Well, in those days and time, it was just farming. In those days and time, we planted more cotton and corn and things like that, and sold our little cattle. As far as I'm concerned, it didn't, change too much up to this present time. Of course, I don't plant any cotton, do much farming, only cattle farming now.
What were the major crops? The
major crop was cotton was king. You heard of cotton being king. That is the main crop was cotton.
Cotton.
75% of the farming land was in cotton. They didn't. And I know at the time we didn't plant any. Well, when we first come here, our maize was unknown. They didn't plant any maize. No, we planted a little corn, but there wasn't no maize.
What did you actually do with the cotton when it got through with the gins here?
They shipped it. Most of the time went to Corpus Compress, and from the compress to ship it on. So it's foreign countries. But that is the main crop. There was a little bit of broom corn planted here, but not much. Cotton was the main crop, sure was. People planted in those days and time. Don't let me forget, everybody raised a bunch of turkeys. Sold eggs, we'd sell our eggs.
Generally, you just sort of had to take care of yourself.
I went on food, yeah. Uh-huh. Lived off the farm. Lived off the farm, sure did.
It wasn't easy to go into town, or if you did go into town, there wasn't that much to purchase there.
Not much to purchase, no. Only a little coffee, a little sugar, about all we had to buy. We lived off the farm.
What about about the ranching part of it. How many cattle did y'all raise out here?
Well, we run on this 900 acres. Those days and time it rained more, and we run about 75 or 80 head of cattle. Cattle was cheap then. I've known yellings to sell for $10, grown cow for $25. They didn't bring much, but things was cheap then. You could buy a Model T car for $475, brand new one.
I've been coming out here to the rancher. I guess you've known me since I was about 4 years old or something like that.
We've been. You wasn't much of a fool. I know you was a Cub Scout, wasn't you, when you first come out here? That's the first time you come out here in the day.
Came out hunting arrowheads.
You was 4 or 5 years old, sure do.
There's a lot of old tales connected with this ranch before your father owned it. I know you've told me before many of the past things about it. Could you tell us a little of the history of this old place?
Well, we bought originally. We bought this place from Frank Perkins. He was brother-in-law of John Runnels. Those Runnels is old pioneers in this country. Well, there's one left yet, and I believe that's Joe W. Runnels. He's about the only one left here in this country. His daddy was George Runnels, and we bought the place from his auntie, which is Miss Mary. Miss Mary, she was Perkins, but she was Runnels.
Bill, since you've lived on the ranch all these years, could you enlighten us a little bit more on your work schedule? What really was the average work day of a rancher? When did you begin? What were your work schedules?
Well, our schedule was from sun to sun, and during the farming time, we'd get up 4 days and have to go get the old mules and chuck corn for them, feed them, and come home, get our breakfast, and we'd go to the field. And when it was raining and couldn't work in the field, there's always something to do on a farm. Cut posts and fix fence and haul our firewood. There wasn't no butane gas in those days and times, so we had to prepare our farm firewood in the summertime and have it ready for the winter. And we was pretty much going all day doing something from sun up to sundown. And during turkey laying time, we'd have to hunt them old turkey hens that hung there. They'd hide the nest and we couldn't find the eggs. Chase coyotes eat up our chickens and trap them. One of the time we'd set traps for the coyotes, catch some that way, and run them with hounds. In those days and time, everybody had a bunch of hounds. And we'd chase them sometime, keep them away from our chickens and turkeys.
Yeah. Well, generally speaking, this glamorous Texas ranch life that you always hear about wasn't always
as No, it wasn't as glamorous as they put it on the TV. It is hard work, a whole lot of hard work. Of course, person don't know anything, he enjoys it. I'm 77 years old and I still enjoy it.
What year were you born?
In 1896. 30th of December.
You lived quite a long life out here on the ranch.
Yeah.
Oh, could you tell us a little something about the different, did you employ people out here to work for you? Well, did you do most of your own work?
No, in those days and time, we had half renters. They'd give them some land on a house, and they'd work it with mules and chop cotton, pick cotton by hand.
A while ago, you mentioned something about the early that you had to build fences and things like this. And years ago, I can remember a discussion that we had, and you were talking about fence posts and the signs and the
yeah,
time of year.
I know
you and my dad are big believers in the signs.
Yeah.
Tell us some stuff about this.
Yeah, it's the same. You got to go and cut those fence posts on the sign of the moon, on the dark of the moon. If they don't, the bugs will eat them up. A lot of people don't believe that. Well, to tell the truth about it, all crops goes by the sign. If you can catch the sign. Sometimes you can't wait for those signs. But every seed you plant, does better on a certain sign of the moon.
Sort of prove this out.
Yeah, I proved that. You remember the post we cut over there?
Yeah. I'll never forget.
And you never get it? No, it's something good. It sure is.
I didn't believe it would work.
A lot of people don't believe it, but it's something good. It's really something to prove. I never did practice it, but some people are allowed practices. I set such chickens on the sign of the moon. It's something to that, too. It is? Actually, something to it.
Well, I know for years that when you and Dad worked cattle,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, don't forget that. You got to castrate on those signs. Don't you gonna you're liable to lose some of your calves.
Have you seen them where they haven't been?
Yeah, I have, yeah, and it swells up. Sure do. Sometimes you do lose them. Same way, it's a certain sign of immune when you want to butcher your hogs. People don't butcher hogs no more. That wants to be the dark of the moon, so it won't, or your bacon won't shrink away, won't dry up. Everything, the moon have something to do with everything. Sure do.
Well, we know the moon affects the tide, so it must have on
plant life and plant animal life.
Animal life.
Has to be.
Right. Well, Bill, what about, could you tell us any of the old legends, or I know there's a bunch of old superstitions and tales and things like that. For one thing, you've lived out there here in this big old ranch home that's over 100 years old. Have you ever seen any ghosts out here?
No, I have. I've heard some funny noise, but when I investigated, it's either a rat, a dog, a cat.
You've just never been scared?
No, I've never did see anything. Other people claim that they've seen things in here. I know we had a old Spanish fellow by the name of Pancho Ramos, and he swore he heard and seen things in here.
What did he think he heard?
Well, we have one of those old-style fireplaces, and that's where he had his kitchen. And in the middle of the night, he said someone come in there and raise that old skillet, hop up and up and down, bang, bang, bang. So he didn't stay in there very long. He went out to the coffee and slept.
You mean went outside?
Yeah, outside, yes, sir. He wrote Papa to come muy pronto.
He wasn't gonna stay out
here. No, he swore that the. You know that old camp skillet, some old, yeah. He used to raise that thing a bang, red bang. He swore as that.
Well, he wrote your father then?
Yeah, to come muy pronto.
Come muy pronto. Well, I guess, you know, maybe he believed that something like this was really taking place.
Well, they claim some people can see him and some people can see him. I wouldn't just say it ain't because I have never seen anything. But to be honest with you, I never did. See or hear anything, but you know, like a spirit. I've left here at all hours of night, and I've come back here all hours of night.
This is about originally about a 10, 12 room home or something like that?
Well, I believe it's originally seven rooms. I tore off one of them rooms and made a crib out of it.
It just from generally looking at it, mm-hmm. At one time this was quite a fancy home.
Yeah, it was. It was a fancy home.
It had its own separate kitchen for the servants to cook in. Mm-hmm. I guess you could describe it, as an English style?
English style, yeah. No Englishman, they claim, built this original house.
What was their name? You know?
Gilpin. He was from England.
It
is? Now, we really, it hadn't affected us too much this year.
How about food during the Depression? Did you have enough food always?
Yeah, we had enough food because in those days and time, you know, people raised mostly their food. Eggs, I had a big bunch of chickens in those days and time. I didn't get anything. I've sold eggs for 8 cents a dozen.
8 cents?
8 cents a dozen, yes, son. I've sold a hog for 3 or 4 cents a pound. We had plenty of food, but, and raised plenty of stuff, but you couldn't get anything for it.
What would a hog run today? It was 3 cents a pound then. What are they selling for today?
Around 40, 45.
That's 40. A big change.
That's
isn't
a big
it?
Change, it is.
From eggs from 8 cents a dozen to what?
79, 89
cents.
Yeah.
That's a real increase.
It is a real increase.
How about the communication? Did you have telephones during the Depression time? Or?
No, we didn't have any telephones at that time.
I noticed earlier you said...
What I was trying to think about, they call them party lines, you know.
Yeah.
Ours is 2 rings and a half, and some of them would be 1 ring and 2 shots and all like that. There's several of us on the telephone in those days and time. Yeah, we had a telephone. That was way back in the, long in the 20s. But they did away with that party phone. I don't know why. And since that, we never did pretty well. Papa lived here, and then after that he went to Beeville, and we did away that at party line.
You know about how much a phone bill cost you in those days?
Oh, it wasn't much. $3 or $4 a month. It wasn't much those days and time because it's a party line, you know. And our phones run on dry batteries in them days and time.
Oh, that's when all those
old
batteries.
Yeah. And the more batteries get weak, you have to put some more in there.
How about communication with Orange Grove? Did y'all go into town quite a bit?
Oh, well, mostly on Saturdays. We'd go over there horseback on a buggy wagon just about once a week and get our groceries, and we wouldn't go back anymore. In those days and time, we had plenty. All those, every farm had one or two half runners, you know, and we had plenty settlers out here, plenty coming.
How were the people in Orange Grove? I know there's a bunch of Germans up there. How were they?
They were friendly. They were friendly people, it sure was. Well, they're still friendly to my notion, yet. Orange Grove is a nice community of people.
Well, Bill, I really enjoyed the interview with you. Maybe someday we can come back and make another one on some particular.
Well, we think a little bit more on it.
Right. Need to get you and Dad out here together.
Yeah. He can think of more things. Than
yeah. Hey. Talk about some of your old hunting tales and things from the past.
From the past,
He's from an old ranching family, too.
That's right.
The Conrad started their ranching here in Texas in 1843 up in San Antonio.
1843, sure enough.
Right. They've been in it quite a while. Can you tell any tales about him out here helping you work ever?
He ever helped me too much with the cattle. No, sure no. We used to come out here and ride those horses when we had horses.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure did. One time we had down three or four horses.
Well, I know y'all used to go and round these cattle up over at the back pasture.
Back pasture,
Well,
that's been so long I kind of forgot about it. We don't ride horses no more now to round the cattle up. I just put a little feed in a bucket and they'll follow you everywhere.
Well, either we've gotten smarter and the horses have gotten dumber or something, huh?
Smarter or lazier, one of the two.
That's probably it.
Well, yeah, I think that's what it is.
I sure want to thank you.
You're welcome.
We really appreciate it very much. It's an interesting old place.
It is.
It really is. It has the typical high ceilings, all solid boarded walls, shutters, and it has a... What's this out front?
Water fountain.
It has like a little bronze cube
in
it.
That was there when y'all came out? That was there, yeah, when we came in. It is in pretty good shape when we first came in.
How was it when you needed to get to a doctor?
Well, we had to go in the wagon and the buggy.
They did have doctors,
and they would come to your house at those days in time. You get word to them. I've been, in a way, we had better service then than we do now.
Pretty hard to get a doctor.
No, your doctor won't come out here at all. No, they won't.
Well, it's difficult even in the city to get on the
county. That's what they claim. They claim you can't get them to go. No, they just won't go.
How about, let's see, Bill, you were first married in what year?
1920.
1920, and then you have one daughter that's how old now?
And Mary's 30 years old.
30 years old. Could you tell us something about her life? Was she raised out of here on the ranch, or?
Well, more or less, until 7 years old, she stayed on the ranch, and after that, wasn't no school here in those days and times, and I had to send her to school at Beeville, and she stayed up there mostly in Beeville from 7 years on up to, until she graduated, and then she married right after she graduated.
Right. Well, now you say there wasn't a school. They did have schools in town, but could you tell us something? Were there racial tensions at that time?
That is an old order, you know. We just accepted it, you know. They had a little school over here by the old John Steck place, but they finally did away with it. The Mexican people went to it, but the colored people didn't go to it.
Did you ever try to apply in Orange Grove?
No, I sure didn't try to apply. My wife, she was from St. Marcus, and she was from kind of prejudiced place up there, and she said no, she wasn't going to send a child because she didn't want them being mistreated, even if we could have got her in there. Mr. Scalky told me, he said, Bill, it ain't no reason why your child shouldn't go, but I never did apply because she was against it.
Well, did they make any effort to try to pay for
it? No, they sure didn't. They never did. I never did get anything from it.
You had to pay these fees yourself?
Yeah, I bought me a lot of things. Bill bought an old second-hand house and moved up there. Then go back and forth up there every week. No, they didn't.
And you send your wife on up there so
you so she could take care of my girl. Send her to school.
Bill, what type of recreation or What type of church services did you attend, or what did y'all do afterwards for parties and things like this? What went on out here?
Well, we didn't have any church here when I went to church. I went to Beeville's church up there.
What religion are you?
I'm a Methodist.
Methodist.
Uh-huh.
How about recreation on the early place out here? What did people do for fun and games? What did they do in the early days?
Well, the same we did when we first come here. Me and my brother used to ride horses. That's the only recreation we take.
How about your schooling? You went to school.
In Beeville, 2 years in Beeville. Most of my schooling, we stayed in Skidmore, about 11 miles from Beeville. Most of my schooling I got there, which wasn't too much. Those days, sometimes, my little old country school didn't go but 5 or 6 months. And almost 9 months I went to was there in Beeville. I just finished 8th grade.
Did you enjoy school?
Yeah, I enjoyed school. We'd play ball and have a lot of fun after I got up in age. Yeah, it was really interesting.
One time you told me something about you had more fun shooting the bow and arrow or something.
Well, when we were small, that was before we went to school. Me and my brother Eddie, we used to make bow and arrows, shoot birds. That's when we lived in Skidmore. Birds and rabbits.
Now that we're talking about bow and arrow, look like we've got a turkey on it. We've hunted arrowheads out here many a time since I was a kid. And I know you are, part Cherokee?
Part Cherokee,
What was from your father's or your mother's side?
Both sides. Mama was, she wasn't Cherokee, some other kind of Indian, but I'm half Indian from both sides.
Half Indian from both sides and half Of course, by the time y'all got here, all the Indians
was gone.
Indian tales were gone. Did
gone,
you ever hear any Indian tales around the area?
No, I sure didn't. No, all the Indians was gone when we came to this country. And I don't know, I guess 100, I don't guess it's been an Indian here. Maybe 100 years before we came here. We find plenty of signs because you yourself found a lot of arrows and old Indian. Y'all even found an old Indian pipe, didn't you?
Pipe, yeah.
Drills.
Drills,
hatchet heads.
Things like this.
No, but all the Indians gone when we come from this country, sure was.
Wonder what kind of Indians were out here, Richard.
I sure couldn't tell you just what kind they was.
I know around the coastline we did have some of these Karankawa Indians.
Karankawa,
Maybe they were the Apaches in this area, I don't really know. Well, Bill, it seems like that old turkey is just about going to drive us crazy out here. How about just by concluding, I know the tape isn't quite as long as maybe we want it to be, but we can come back some other time maybe and work a little more on that. But what about some of the current topics, things that are going on today? I know you have a TV, you're well-read, you keep up with things. What's some of your opinions about Watergate, for instance? What do you think about this?
Well, I thought so.
You think the president deserves impeachment, or what do you think?
Well, if he's guilty, I really believe he should be impeached, but nobody haven't proved that he's really guilty. I sure wouldn't know how to comment on that topic.
I think that's a fair enough answer if he's, until he's proven guilty.
I believe, I believe give him a chance to prove that he is innocent. It's so much crooked work going on today now, we just can't tell what's what.
Right. And he's being affected at all by the gas shortages?
Well, not too much. I never did go too much, so quite naturally don't. The price is hurting me worse than the shortage. paying for that 49.53 of the gasoline is hurting me worse than the shortage. I never did go too much. So far, I haven't bombed too much. Been wet and bad weather, and so I wouldn't know until I get into my main crop.
How does this gas shortage this time compare with the one back in the 1920s or 30s during the Depression times? How was the Depression life out here?
Well, at that time, they had plenty of gas at those days and times, but we had the farmer, the really in the rancher didn't suffer because he had those coupons, and we got all the gas that we needed. It's different now. They claim it's really a shortage of gas, and that's the reason some people can't get, but we didn't suffer. What we suffered about mostly was tires. We'd get those old reconditioned tires, three threads, and we blowed out, me and my neighbor blowed out one coming from, went down there and took our coupons to Alice and blowed it out before we got home, so we didn't make anything.